in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today is, it's 9-11 today. It's not just September the 11th. It's 9-11. It's amazing how the events of the course of life can change the way we see dates on a calendar. You know, there was a time where July 4th was just another date on the calendar. But then came a revolution. There was a time where December 7th was just another date on a calendar, and then there was the bombing of Pearl Harbor. There was a day where 9-11 was September the 11th. And it was just another day on a calendar. Of course, we know that that has all changed. And when we pause on a day like today on 9-11 and we think about what happened 21 years ago, we see so many things that are there, so many lessons that can be learned. And you know, one of the things that you see the tragedy, you see the loss, the pain and the hurt. You see the evil that can be inside of people. I mean, the pure evil that would fly an airplane into a building just to make a point. But you also see the good. You see those who rose up and became heroes that day. Heroes that we honor, heroes that we celebrate. The kind of people that when everybody else was running down the stairs, they were running up the stairs. When everybody else was running out of the building, they were running into the building. And if you were to say to those people, "You're a hero," most of them would say, "I'm not really a hero. I was just there. I was just doing my job. I was just doing what I was trained to do. I'm nothing special," which is part of the reason why they are heroes. I want to challenge us as a church today to be heroes, because we're living in that world that, as Gary was talking about, is that empty place, that Dead Sea place that needs Jesus. We're living in the midst of a lot of people who are lost, and they're in this place that they don't even recognize. They don't even understand or realize just how real hell is, and the eternity is coming, and it's coming quick, and they don't even know the condition that they're in. They don't know how quickly. You see on that 9-11 day, nobody knew that those buildings were going to collapse. On 9-11, everybody thought, well, we've got time to get everybody out of the building. We've got time to rescue everybody. There's going to be time, because we've never seen anything where a building pancakes on itself like that. No, nobody ever could have imagined what was going to unfold. Listen, I want to tell you that we're all living in a place where we don't know what the next moment's going to be. We live in this life that is so uncertain. But here's what we do know. We're all going to come to the end of this life. You know, I'm so blessed to be your pastor. You've been such a supportive congregation to me and to my family as we've been going through some issues of our own, but God is still faithful and God is still good. I had no idea that last Sunday I was going to be preparing for my brother-in-law's funeral. We were praying for a different outcome, right? But life happens, and you've got to be ready, and you've got to be prepared for that. I want that part of this message to really sink into your spirit today, that this uncertainty of life, the reality that we are all going to face God one day, and we all need to be ready to face God one day, but there are folks who are not yet ready. Maybe you're here today, and you're not yet ready to face Jesus. I want to tell you that the most important thing that you can do in your life is to find a place to kneel and repent and surrender your life and ask Jesus Christ to come and take over and be your Lord and be your Savior. It's the most important thing that you can do. And for the rest of us, the most important thing that we can do is be that kind of a hero that is reaching out to those folks that are lost, those folks whose lives are in jeopardy, those who are just short of the flame, as it were, and to do everything that we can to bring them into the kingdom of God. I don't think that there's anything that we can do that is too far stretched, anything short of sin anyhow. I heard one church say, we'll do anything short of sin to reach people for Jesus. That's really what we ought to. That was the heart and the attitude of Jesus, wasn't it? I mean, Jesus was willing to do pretty much anything in order to reach lost people. He was willing to go beyond the conventional thinking he was being. He was willing to do things that were outside the box, as it were, things that nobody else was doing, that upset other people in order to reach lost. When he says, I must needs go through Samaria, I mean, really, Jesus? No good Jewish boy is going to go through Samaria. You got to go around. That's what we were taught to do since we were little, because those Samaritan folks, you don't want to be caught around them. Jesus said, no, I got to go. And not only did he have to go to Samaria, he had to meet a particular woman who had a less than good life going on. A woman that had a past, a woman who had five husbands, and now she's shacking up with somebody that's not her husband. I mean, that's what Jesus said. And he didn't use the word shacking up, but that's what he said, right? Why did he do that? Why did he break convention? Why is this Jewish man talking to this Samaritan woman at a well in the middle of the day? It's because she needed a hero. She needed somebody that was willing to not think of themselves and what was comfortable to them and what was good for them and what was easy for them, and didn't really care about what anybody else said about what they were doing. Somebody like that, that would step into her life and say, I care about you enough to tell you that there is living water that you don't have to ever thirst again. Jesus did some radical stuff. They bring a lady before him caught in the act of adultery, and what does Jesus do? When they said, what did we do? What do you want us to do about it? You know, the law says we ought to stone her. And Jesus says, well, he that's without sin cast the first stone. Somehow he's introducing this new concept to people that they've never thought like that before. But Jesus kind of, I'm thinking, if we stone her, she's going to hell. If we can keep her alive long enough, maybe she's got a chance for salvation. You know, she can never. That she can change, she can go and sin no more, because he cared about her. And he cared about her more than he cared about his reputation. He cared about her more than he cared about what the religious people thought. He cared about her more because she was the one in front of him at that moment. Reminded of how he was radical the way that he dealt with Zacchaeus. You remember Zacchaeus? He was a tax collector. Everybody hated tax collectors. They're collecting taxes for the Roman government that was a conquering empire in that day. And as far as all the Jews were, that they didn't belong there. This is our land. This is our territory. We shouldn't have to pay taxes to them. They ought to be paying taxes to us. It's probably what the Jewish people were thinking. And then there's this Zacchaeus guy along with everybody else who not only are collecting the taxes for the Romans, but then they're padding their own pockets, you know, collecting more than what's really due just so that they can get some extra. And this guy, Zacchaeus, has climbed up in a tree to look at Jesus. And Jesus has this conversation. He says, Zacchaeus, come on down out of the tree, because here's what we're going to do. I'm going to your house today. I'm going to your house today because I care about you. I'm going to your house today. And we're going to sit down at your table and we're going to eat your food. What's your favorite? You fix it. We're going to just go to your house. This is about you, Zacchaeus. What is Jesus doing? He's building this relationship with Zacchaeus because he wants to change Zacchaeus' life. And the people said about Jesus, he's a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yeah. Listen, they weren't trying to brag on Jesus when they said that. That wasn't meant to be a compliment. I think somehow Jesus took it that way. Yeah, I am, aren't I? I am a friend of the tax collector, and I am a friend of the prostitute, and I am a friend of, you just name it, whoever it is, I am their friend. He cared. He wanted to know them. He wanted to invest in their life. Why? So that he could save them. We're being called upon to be those kind of heroes to people that we know who need Jesus. Let me ask you a question this morning. Aren't you glad that there was somebody in your life that was your hero that brought you to Jesus? That introduced you. I don't know who it was. It might have been a mom. It might have been a dad. It might have been a family member. You know, we're in the second service today. We got a lot of folks that are here with CR and what have you. But yay CR. But I heard that there are a lot of people in the church that had a drug problem when they were kids. They got drugged to church on Sunday mornings. They got drugged to church on Sunday nights. They got drugged to church on Wednesday nights. Any of you had a drug problem when you were a kid? Yeah. But aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful you had somebody who loved you enough that even when you said, I don't want to go, they said, you're going anyhow. And some of you, maybe you weren't raised that way and you weren't raised in the church, but some point in life, somebody encountered you, somebody that knew Jesus. And you begin to look at their life and you saw that they were different and you said, I don't know what it is about you, but I like what I see inside of you. And they said, well, come to my church sometime. And anybody got that kind of a testimony that somebody invited you to church and it changed your life? And now they're your hero because they pulled you out of that burning building and they gave you a chance at life. Here's what I'm talking about today is here at Spirit Life Church, we believe in reaching the lost and then discipling the reached. I think you can read that on our wall here somewhere. But it's not just something that we wrote on a wall. It's something that's written in our heart. Because we know that the heart of Jesus was that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus did a lot of other wonderful things. He healed sick, raised the dead, cast out demons, walked on water, fed the multitudes. He did all kinds of wonderful things. But all of it ultimately was so that he could save the lost. It was all about the lost. It was never about Jesus. It wasn't about what was convenient for Jesus. It wasn't about what was comfortable for Jesus. It was about, they're lost people, and I got to do everything that I can to reach the lost. So I want to challenge us as a church. In just a few weeks, you heard Pastor Sean share about it a little bit earlier. In 4 weeks, on October the 9th, we're going to be having a special day here, what we call a big wave. And we're gearing up. We're on the front end of that right now. We're beginning to gear up. We're beginning to get ready for that. But on that day, on October the 9th, we're going to have our superhero day. We did this about 3 years ago. If I'm not mistaken, Steve and Shelley, sitting right here on the front row, came to Superhero Sunday 3 years ago because somebody did what? They invited you. Somebody cared about you enough that they invited you to come to this church. And here they are sitting on the front row 3 years later. Involved in ministry, serving the Lord. Their life has been changed. Why? Because somebody saw the opportunity and said, hey, this is going to be a special day. They probably didn't say, you need to come hear our preacher. He's the greatest in the world. They probably didn't say that. They probably said something, we're going to have a lot of fun, we're going to have food, we're going to have, we're going to have the superheroes, they're going to be dressed in costumes, you know. Because you see, 49 Sundays out of the year, we make it about the righteous. We make it about the churched folks. It's kind of all for us. I think 2 or 3 Sundays out of the year, we ought to make it about the unrighteous. We ought to make it about the lost people. We ought to say, it's not really about what I think, what I feel, what I care, what I like, what I want, but if I can do something that's going to help me reach lost people, if our church could do something that's a little outside the boundaries, I mean, I know that, you know, Superman outfits may not be your normal Sunday attire. I get that, and some of you probably don't need to be in a Superman outfit. You know, that's just thoughts going through my head right now. But there are people who, that's what they live for. They love that kind of stuff. Maybe you know some people like that. And say, hey, don't you like to put on your little costume and, you know, have fun? Come on, our church is going to be doing it. And we're going to do stuff for the kids. We're going to have, you know, all kinds of fun stuff. The train's going to be running and, you know, they're going to have all the inflatables that Sean was talking about. $25,000 worth of inflatables. Okay, he said I'm not spending all of that on inflatables. Anyhow, that just blew my mind. Anyhow, it's going to be good. It's going to be a great day. And we want these kids to come. You know why we want kids to come to our church? There's a whole bunch of reasons. One is because we love kids. One is because kids need to give their life to Jesus while they're still kids. And so if we can get kids to come to our church because it's going to be a fun day, and then they get introduced to Jesus and it changes their life. But here's another reason. It's because kids got parents. And parents need Jesus as well. And so when a kid comes to church and he has a great time and says to his mom and dad, hey, that was the best time. Are we coming back next Sunday? So here's my appeal to you today. I'm not preaching long this morning. My appeal to you is you've been called by God before I ever began to preach to be a conduit of the love and the message of Jesus Christ to a lost and a dying world. You have been identified before I ever began to preach this morning as a ditch through which living water can flow to a dry and a thirsty land. And I'm calling upon you to be the kind of hero that's willing to step up and say, I'm going to invite people to come. I'm going to sign up and serve. I'm going to do everything I can to make that day a successful day, so where when we come to the end of the day, we see this altar filled with people who are giving their heart and life to Jesus Christ. For some of you, this is kind of old hat. You've done it before. Some of you are kind of new to our church, and you're going, oh, you know, I've never seen this. How does this work? It's going to be awesome, and we just want everybody to get involved. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to close the service here with just a couple quick things. One is, I want you to take the cards that are in front of you. They're on the seat. There are a couple cards that are there. One looks like this. And if you just look at that real quick, it basically is what we're asking you to do to prepare for that Sunday. Your mission on the back side of the card is to pray every day for those on this list. And so the list is in each one of these spots here on the other side of the card. We want you to put in the name of somebody that you know that needs Jesus. Somebody that you know that's unchurched. And I want to really emphasize the unchurched part. We're not here saying, let's get people out of one life raft and stick them in a different life raft. Not from one church into a different church. That's not my heart. My heart is that this church is reaching people who aren't in the life raft yet, who are still struggling in the waters of life and who are about to drown, and they need Jesus. Let's get those into the boat. So I'm asking you to pray for unchurched people. Put their names, write their names down. Maybe right now, even as I'm talking, the Holy Spirit's already beginning to drop some names into your heart. Yeah, I need to invite my neighbor. Yeah, I need to invite my coworker. Yeah, I need to invite my son, my daughter, my mom, my dad. I don't know who it is, but whoever it is that the Lord's laying on your heart and you're saying, and here's what I'm going to do. For the next month, we're asking you to pray for that person, those people. And we're committing as a church body, we're going to be praying with you about that as well. And then you're going to actually invite them to come. You're not just going to pray for them and hope that the Holy Spirit somehow magically gets them to come. You're going to do your part. You're going to reach out and say, hey, our church is doing this really cool thing and love for you to come and be a part. And you would invite them to come and just be with you. Come sit with me. Now, just be with me that day. I would love for you to be here. So we're going to do our part to reach. So I'm asking you to pray, invite them to come, and then to come back the next week. Don't just invite them to come once. Invite them to come back the next week. And listen, do whatever it takes. Jesus would do whatever it takes. The Apostle Paul, on one account, he was saying, I have become all things to all men that I may by any means win some. He's like, I'm willing to take the limits off. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'll become as a Jew to the Jew. I'll be like a Gentile to the Gentile. To the weak, I'll be weak. I'll whatever it takes. Some of you may recognize the name John Pena. Anybody here know who John Pena is? There's a few folks who are here. John Pena, for many years, served as our Hispanic pastor here at Spirit Life Church. And today he pastors a church out in Broken Arrow. But before he became a pastor, John Pena was a professional soccer player in Peru. And he came to the United States to play some minor league soccer. They didn't pay a whole lot of money to be a minor league soccer player in those days. And so he had a sister who lived here in Tulsa and went to our Hispanic church. And she would say to her brother John, John, if you'll come to the church, I think it was $10. I'll give you $10 every week if you just come to church. But you got to come to church to get the $10. He didn't make a lot of money. $10 meant a lot to him back then. And one day, because he was sitting through that service to get his $10, he got a whole lot more than $10. I'm not telling you to bribe somebody to church. I'm just suggesting it's possible. I'm just saying that whatever we need to do to win somebody into the kingdom of God, I think Jesus would say, go for it. Amen. Anything short of sin. Anything short of sin. I'm not asking to sin to do it, but anything short of sin to reach the lost. That's the heart of Spirit Life Church, folks. That's why Jesus has left us here in this world. And I'm asking you, let's make this day an incredible day for Jesus. You've also been given some cards that are invite cards. They're about half a dozen or so beside you. Grab those and use them to invite somebody to come. Put it in their hand and say, hey, just a reminder. Call them, check on them, love on them. Be a hero. Be a hero. Father, Lord, I ask that you help us to do that. Help us to be a hero to somebody. To love them enough to invite them to come to church where they are introduced to you, where their life can be changed and transformed like ours have been. Help us, Father, to be those conduits. Help us, Father, to be the ditches through which your Holy Spirit flows. God, you want to use us. Lord, you want to use us, but we've got to be open, Lord. Help us to open up the ditches. If there's stuff in our life that's in the way, that's clogged up the ditch that the Spirit can't flow. If there's something in our life that's clogged up the conduit to where your Spirit can't flow through us, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd just move that out of our lives. Help us to repent, to turn, to receive your forgiveness, God, so that your Spirit flows, so that your love flows through us to a world that needs to know about the love of Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask this morning if there may be some in this place today that you're here because somebody loved you enough to invite you to come. You're here because somebody has been a conduit of the love of Jesus. You're here and you need to make a change in your life. You're going in the wrong direction and you're going that way fast. And it's time to stop. It's time to turn around. It's time to repent of your sin and make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior. If there's anyone here today and that's what you need, that's your next step, that's the next important thing that you need to do in your life and you're ready to do that, I'd love to pray with you. And our prayer team would love to share with you some information that will help you grow in that relationship with the Lord. If you're here and that's what you need is salvation, you need to surrender to Jesus, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Would you just raise your hand right now? Yeah, I see your hand. Thank you. Yeah, here on the front, I see. Is there somebody else? Maybe I'm the lights are a little dim. Raise your hand high. If there's somebody else that you need to receive Christ today, I want to give you that opportunity. Over here, yes, yeah, yeah. Thank you, thank you. Anyone else, while the Spirit of the Lord's moving on your heart today, and you know this is what I need to do. This is what I need to do. I just thank you, Lord, that you're drawing men and women You're loving people into your kingdom right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Here's what I want to ask you to do. We're just going to, right where you are, out of the sincerity with which you raised your hand saying, I know I need to do this, would you pray this simple prayer? This is about you and Jesus right now. This isn't about anybody else in the room. It's like everybody else has just disappeared, and now it's just you and Jesus in this room right now. And you're just speaking to him out of your heart. And would you pray this simple little prayer with me, and just say this to Jesus today? And in fact, if you want to, everybody in this room can pray this out loud. Dear Jesus, I come to you now. And I confess that I am broken and I am lost and I need you. And I thank you because you love me even in the mess that I'm in. And you died on a cross not thinking of yourself but thinking of me so that I could be forgiven, so that I could have the gift of eternal life. Jesus, forgive me of all my sin. I turn away from my old lifestyle, and I turn to you. Become my Savior and my Lord, and help me to live for you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me, for forgiving me, for giving me new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church, let's rejoice today. I just want to believe that that is the first fruits of what God wants to do here at Spirit Life Church over the course of the next few weeks and on our Superhero Sunday. Here's what I want to ask you to do. If you prayed that prayer, several of you raised your hand, front, back. Would you come and at the close of the service, we're going to have a closing prayer. Prayer team, would you come and join me down at the front? And we just want to minister to these folks and love on them and just pour into their life. Yeah, they're already coming. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, come on down. Just come right on down. Come on. These are the guys that prayed and asked Jesus into their lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're here today and you're in need of prayer for anything in your life, our prayer team is willing to pray for you. If you came today hurting, broken, you need Jesus to minister to you, let us pray for you. Our prayer team is here to do that. So let me just pray this final prayer. And oh, what an awesome day. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. Thank you, God, for speaking to us. Lord, thank you that you've called us to be those conduits, those ditches, those heroes, Lord. Thank you, Father, for these who have come forward and surrendered their heart and their life to you. Thank you, God, you're giving us a brand new start. And I pray, God, that you'll just help each of them to just keep growing in their walk and in their relationship with you. And Lord, minister to the needs of everyone else in this place as only you're able to do. And Father, we just bless your name as we leave this place. We leave not thinking of ourselves, but thinking of a world that needs us to be ditches and conduits and heroes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.